2, and we will sing to the Lord. Standing on the Promises 4:10 for those that want to use the hymnal.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior.
Bow with me in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for this opportunity. Lord, we gather together. Lord, you have given us this day. Lord, you have given us this building to gather together in. Lord, you have given us one another. Lord, most importantly, you have given us your Son. Lord, you have loved us so much that you sent your only Son, Lord, to die on the cross, to pay the price for our sins, that if we would believe in him, that we can have everlasting life. So, Father, I thank you for that most of all. Lord, and I just pray that you would help us to worship you this morning, Lord. Help us to put aside distractions, Lord. Help us to put aside personal preferences, Lord. And help us to worship you as the God who has loved us, who has died for us, who has promised his presence with us and promises us eternity, Lord. I just pray that as we reflect on those things, Lord, that our hearts would be lifted up to you. Lord, our voices would be lifted up to you, Lord. And Father, that we would worship you as the God worthy of all that we have and so much more. Lord, guide us in these moments, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
All right, amen. Let's continue singing to the Lord this morning. Here we go.
we've waited for this day. We're gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire, burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise.
One more time on that chorus.
Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. In this place, glory on our face, we're looking to the sky, descending like a cloud, you're standing with us now, Lord, unveil our eyes.
You're the reason,
you're the reason we're here. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise.
Open up.
Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise.
Show us your glory, Lord.
Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord.
Open
up the heavens. We want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise.
Last time.
Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise.
Amen. Let's worship him and give him praise this morning.
How great is our God. How great he is.
The splendor of the King, oh, in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and tremble.
trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Age to age. Above all names.
Gracious, loving God in heaven, through your sweet Son, Jesus Christ, we pray that we can just live according to your word. Fill our hearts and our minds and our souls with your Holy Spirit, that we might live better for you each and every day and just be a blessing to someone else. Forgive us for our mistakes, Heavenly Father, and cleanse us. Bless this church, bless every member, our staff, and our pastor. We pray with your blessing it will grow. We pray for the hungry and the homeless across the world, everywhere, the lost ones and the Bahamas, and we just pray, Heavenly Father, that your blessing will be with everyone that needs your help through your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless us this day to your glory, bless our and to your service, and bless our givers. And we pray that we can be a blessing to someone somewhere next week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Okay, let's go be seated. Going to do just a little singing, a little congregational time. Something about that name. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Jesus.
You have your Bibles with you. Go ahead and open up to 1 John chapter 5. We've got three more weeks this week and two more weeks in 1 John, and then we will complete our study of John's first letter to the Ephesians. Certainty and confidence. How is it that we can have certainty and confidence? We've got some college students here. Sometimes you have tests and exams. It's always nice to have confidence when you go into the exam that you're going to do well. Some of you have taken tests for your jobs. So there may be a proficiency test. I remember I was talking with somebody in our church, and they went for an interview, and they were asked how their shorthand skills were. Certainty and confidence. How is it you know that you are going to be able to do shorthand? Some of you may have passed a realtor's exam, or some of you may have taken a bar exam, or all sorts of things. Even in the technology industry, there's always certifications that you want to get. And so how is it that you can have certainty and confidence when you go into these tests? Well, it comes by having knowledge, right? For some of you, if I asked you about differential equations and I said, well, I'm going to give you a quiz today on differential equations, some of you would not have much confidence in how you would do. For some of us, we could even back it up a little bit, right? If I gave you a geometry test, some of you don't necessarily have a lot of confidence in your geometry skills because it's been a while. The knowledge isn't there anymore. But confidence comes through having knowledge. Certainty comes by having knowledge. On Friday, I took Meredith and Oliver on a trip. They said, where are we going? I said, I'm not going to tell you. So they loaded in the car. And I thought I needed to head down 29 to where I was going to go. But the GPS told me I needed to go down 460. So obviously I had a little breakdown in my knowledge there. If I hadn't had the GPS, we certainly would have not gotten to the destination, right? But anyway, we headed down 460, and then we got to Bedford, and we made a left, and we headed towards Smith Mountain Lake. So they knew that we were going somewhere there. But even on that road, I didn't tell them where we were going. They didn't have knowledge. They weren't certain about where we were going. It wasn't until I made the left turn into the Booker T. Washington National Park that they knew where we were. But when they saw that sign and they saw the turn signal on what? They had confidence and certainty as to where we were going. Confidence and certainty comes from knowledge. Well, John wants us to have confidence and certainty about a couple of things today. He's been talking about them as we've gone through the letter. He's been giving us that knowledge, but at this point in the letter, he's starting to wrap things up. And so he explains, this is why I have written to you. So let's look and see what John has written, see what we can have certainty and confidence about. This is what John writes, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. If you bow with me in prayer. Dear Father, as we look at Your word this morning, what I would ask again, that Your Holy Spirit would teach us and instruct us, Lord. That You would open our minds to understand Your word. That You would show us how we might apply Your word to us today. And Lord, that You would change us in these moments. Lord, Your word tells us that it is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the core of who we are. And I just pray that You would do that this morning, Lord. Search us through Your word, Lord. Guide us, strengthen us, in Jesus' name, amen. First point of your outline says this: God wants you to have certainty about your eternal life. I've talked with people on occasion. I said, do you know that you're going to heaven? They said, I hope so. You know, hope is not certainty. Hope is one thing. I hope that I'll be there. Certainty is the statement, yes, I know I will be there because of Jesus Christ. Right? There are a lot of religions out there that deal not with certainty, but with hope. So ask a Muslim, will you end up going to paradise? And they will tell you, I hope so. If I've done more good than bad, yeah, I think Allah will let me in. Talk to Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon. Do you know that you will we go to heaven? I hope so. I hope that I've done enough good, that it outweighs my bad. But there's no confidence in works. Because work says that there's a balance going on. There's a scale. The good is over here and the bad is over here. And I can't see it. I don't know what's on it. I'm not sure really where that balance is at this moment. And I'm certainly not sure where that balance is going to be on the day that I die. I hope so. But I don't know. But that's not what John says this morning. John, in this passage we're looking at, isn't talking about hope. He's talking about certainty, things that we can know for certain. So he says this: these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. All right, so that's the first thing that brings us that certainty, is where is our faith? Is our faith in ourself and our works, or is our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ? So John says, I write these things to you, to those of you who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Right, now, this isn't the first time he's mentioned that, but he's reaffirming that. That's where the certainty comes from, is from Jesus Christ. He says, that you may know that you have eternal life. How is it that we know? Well, if it's based on us, we hope. But if it's based on Jesus Christ, we know. John 3:16. You know, most of us know that verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John tells us here in the passage today, John tells us in John 3:16, that it comes through believing in Jesus. Trusting in who He is. You know, he's been building that argument that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus was not just a man who lived on this earth, who taught good, positive things and that we need to follow his example. Right? There are religions that are based on that idea. Okay? Buddha is purported as a good man, a good teacher. You just need to follow his example. Joseph Smith is presented as a good teacher. You just need to follow his example. Islam is based on the life of Muhammad. And the Quran is simply what did Muhammad do? Follow his example. How well do you follow the example? Well, that determines what happens. Christianity isn't based on following the example of a good teacher. Christianity is based on the fact that Jesus was God who became flesh, that lived a life of perfection, that died on the cross not for what he'd done, but for what we have done, our sins, our shortcomings. And as Jesus was on the cross, he says, "It is finished." He's talking about the work that God sent him to do, to take the sins of this world upon himself. It is finished. It is completed. So do we believe in Jesus Christ as God who became man, who died on the cross to pay the price for our sins? If we've trusted in him and his work on the cross, then there is certainty about eternal life. Right? This week, a pastor out in California committed suicide. Now, I don't know the relationship that he had with God. I would believe that he knew Jesus as Lord and Savior. But as I study God's Word, you know what? Suicide won't keep him from getting into heaven, because suicide is the work of the flesh. But we trust in the work of Jesus Christ. So if somebody were to ask me, did he go to heaven? I would say, well, did he believe in Jesus Christ as his Savior? Yes, I believe he did. Well, then yes, I believe he's in heaven, regardless of what he did, regardless of taking his own life. Because if it's the work of Christ that makes the difference, then what I do or don't do as the works of the flesh don't determine my eternity. It's based on Jesus Christ. So John has said, I want you to know. I want you to have certainty about your eternal life. And then he continues on, he says, that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Right? So he doesn't just want them to have confidence about eternity, but he also wants their faith to continue. He wants them to be steadfast, to be immovable. And so John says, this is why I have written. I've written this letter so that you may know. So that you may continue to believe. So why has God preserved this letter for us today? So that we may know. So that we may have certainty. So that we may be strengthened in our faith. Because there were teachers in John's day that were saying it's based on what you know. You need to have a secret knowledge. It's not based on Jesus Christ. It's based on the knowledge that you have. John says, no. It's all based on the work of Christ. I want you to know. I want you to have certainty. I want you to be encouraged and strengthened in your faith. Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Those verses follow after that. My favorite section where it says that this corruption puts on incorruption, this mortality puts on immortality, that one day death will be swallowed up, that death has no victory. That the sting of death is sin. But the deliverance from that sting is through Jesus Christ. And so he says, and so I want you to be steadfast and immovable. That's the same thing that John is saying. I want you to be steadfast and immovable. Continuing to practice good works. He's talked about that. He's talked about that no longer walking in the darkness, walk in the light. He's talking about loving your brethren. There are good works that we're called to do. It's just that our good works don't secure our eternity. Jesus Christ has secured our eternity. So God wants us to have the knowledge today that eternity is based on our faith in Jesus Christ. That gives us certainty about our eternal life. Point number two, God wants you to have confidence in your prayer. So this is what John writes. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that if He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. So there's a confidence, as there's a certainty about eternal life, and there's a confidence about our prayers. Now, the confidence comes from what he just talked about. We have a relationship with God through the finished work of Jesus Christ. So he's talked throughout this letter about this idea of God abiding in us, us abiding in God. He's talked about this idea of fellowship that we have with one another, that we are walking with God, that we know God, that we're communing with God. All these things that build on the idea of family and relationships and connections. And so he says, you know, we've just said that we have certainty about eternal life, which is based on Jesus Christ. And if we have this eternal life, we also know that we have a relationship with God. And so since we know that we have this relationship with God, that we can have confidence in our prayers. Right? I've got a brown chair at home. It's not real leather. I think it's fake leather. But it's my chair. Now, I just want to say, before I had this chair, I had an awesome chair in college. Okay. Now, by awesome, I mean that it was broken in. It was comfy. The vinyl was peeling off of it. But I had gotten it from my brother-in-law. And my dad and I had built new legs for it, and it had kind of a decline, I guess, when you sat in. You were kind of leaning back. And I love this chair. I had it in college. I had it when Kim and I got married. It went out to Colorado, okay? When we were moving back from Colorado, my wife said, "Don't bring that chair back. Don't bring that chair back." Because in order for my wife to be remotely comfortable about being there, it had to have a blanket over it so people couldn't see that the vinyl was coming off. But it was a good chair. She said, "I will get you a chair to replace it." So we moved back to Virginia. That chair, I don't know. I pray somebody got it off the street and they are enjoying it as much as I was, because that was an awesome chair. But more than likely, it's in the dump, okay? So I got this brown faux leather chair, all right? And it was in my study. And so I could go in my study, and I could close the door, and that's where I would sit when I was studying my Bible, okay? And I would sit there, and that was my chair. And often, my children would knock on the door that was closed because it was my study, and they would come in, all right? And there were times when my children, they're all too big now. They're all too big now. But there was a time that they would climb into my lap and they would look into my eyes and they would, you know, say all sorts of things. All right? And my children say all sorts of things. "Daddy, can I have a horse? Daddy, can I have a puppy? Daddy, can I have a bird? Can I have a goldfish? Can I have a hamster? Can I have a guinea pig? Daddy, can I? There was confidence in the relationship, all right, that they could ask anything. But what I want you to see that John says here that relates to all the animals that I've been asked for is that John says when we ask according to God's will, I have no desire to have a horse. I have no desire to have a bird. Now, I know that I've got a bird that's coming my way, maybe one of these days, but that's a separate thing. John says that when we ask, because of the relationship we have, when we ask according to God's will, that he hears us. Now, sometimes in prayer, I think we have this sense that maybe God doesn't hear us. But based on the relationship that we have as children of God, he hears us. He hears everything that we ask. He says that we need to be like little children. We need to be like those children that climb up into their father's lap, that just kind of snuggle into the shoulder. And as only children can do, they look at up at you and they ask for the most amazing things. And when it's in your will as a parent, what do? Certainly. Daddy, can I have help with math? Now, yes, I want to help you succeed in your studies. Daddy, can I have a snack? Yeah, I don't want you to starve to death. There are things that when my children ask, I say yes. There are some things when they ask not according to their will that I say no. But John says that when, because of the relationship that we have through Jesus Christ, that when we ask in accordance with God's will, that he hears us. So the biggest thing to learn from that, I think, is that we've got to ask according to God's will. How is it that we know what God's will is? Well, the biggest way is to read God's word. Right? George Mueller read in God's word that the orphans belong to God. Now he says, God, I have read in your word that the orphans belong to you, but I think that you are calling me to help them. But they're yours, and your word has said that you will provide for the orphans. So I'm going to start an orphanage, and I'm asking that you provide for their needs based on your word. He read in God's word that God had a heart for the orphans, and God was calling him to minister to the orphans. And so he prayed that God would provide. And if you read the testimony of George Mueller, you can see a man that God provided for, that he asked, and out of faith, he proceeded. Because George Mueller believed that when he asked according to God's will, that God heard him. And John doesn't just leave it there, but John says that, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. That's faith. That says, God, I know that I've asked according to your will, and so I am stepping out in faith that I already have it. I'm already acting upon it. I have confidence in who you are, and I have confidence in your will, and I have confidence in your word and your power, and so I'm stepping out in faith. God wants us to have confidence in prayer. The confidence comes partly through the relationship, but the confidence also comes from knowing God's will and asking according to God's will. And so to know what God's will is, we've got to study God's word. It's there that we learn the heart of God. It's there that we learn the things that God wants. And so prayer is not bringing God in line with us. It's us bringing ourselves in line with God. I can pray all day for things that I want. But God is not a genie in a bottle that gives me three wishes. No matter how profound or self-serving they are, that God is going to give me whatever I ask simply because I ask. God is a loving and gracious Father who gives us not what we want, but gives us what we need. And there's a big difference between what I want and what I need. There's a big difference sometimes between God's will and my will. And so my job is to bring myself in line with God's will. Study God's word to see what it says, to see the heart of God, and then to pray according to the heart of God. So we can know what God wants. What God wants: the salvation of the nations. God wants to provide for the widows and the orphans. God wants his word to go out. He wants people to grow in their faith. So I pray in accordance with those things. I pray that God will guide the footsteps of my children, that God will guard their hearts, that God will establish my children in their faith. And I learn to bring myself in line with God's will. Father, give me this day my daily bread. Give me those things I need today. That's not what I tend to ask for. I tend to ask about the things that I want tomorrow, or much more than my daily bread. God, please give me a big juicy steak with vegetables on the side, you know, and a blooming onion there. But that's not what Jesus did. You said, he didn't say pray for a feast. He said pray for those things that you need today. So I've got on there for you. The disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray. And so Jesus began, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, Father, if there's any other way than for me to die on the cross, let this cup pass from me. But not my will be done, but yours. It's about the will of God. But when we pray according to the will of God, God hears us, and we have confidence that we already have what we've asked for. We're called to step out in faith. John 15, verse 7. Jesus says, if you abide in me, again, that relationship that John's been talking about throughout this letter. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, so knowing God's word. So we're in that relationship and we've got God's word living within us. We know what it says. Not just that we can quote it, not just that we can recite it, but we know what it means. The words abiding in us, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Jesus is the same thing. If you walk in a relationship with me and my word is living within you, my commandments in my heart, you know them. And you ask according to those things, then it shall be given to you. So maybe if you're finding that you're asking God for a lot of things, but you feel like no is coming a lot, maybe you need to figure out whether you're praying in accordance with God's will or not. Maybe the no's are coming because you're asking for things that God knows that you don't need. You're asking for things that God knows that actually won't even be beneficial for you. The other night, we went over to West Lynchburg Baptist Church for a missions dinner. And Kim was not there. And so my kids asked me, how many desserts can I get? The short answer is they had more than Kim would have let them have. I let them perhaps have more than was good for them. God doesn't. God knows exactly what we need, so much better than we do. And so God's going to give us according to his will, according to what is best for us. And so if we want to see God answer our prayers in positive ways, then we need to ask things according to God's will. So John says, I write these things that you may know that you have everlasting life because of your faith in Jesus. I write these things that you may be encouraged and established in your faith. It's my prayer that as we've gone through this letter, that it has encouraged you and established in your faith, but it's also helping you to grow, because I believe that you've read things in this letter that smack with what you're doing in your life, that have shown you that your life it needs some adjustments. John wants us to be confident and certain in eternity. He wants to be established in our faith that salvation doesn't come from anywhere except for Jesus Christ. And he wants us to be confident in our prayers, that the things that we ask for we're going to get, but we do that because we have that relationship and because we're asking according to God's will. So what do we do now? Well, the first question is, are you certain about your eternal life? If I were to ask you, if I were to sit down with you and say, do you know that you have eternal life? Do you know that you're going to go to heaven? What is your answer? If your answer is anything less than yes, I know, because Jesus is my Savior, then you don't have certainty. And I want you to leave this place certain, because we're not guaranteed any more than this moment. And if you're not certain, we need to have a conversation so that you will know that when this life comes to an end, you will know where you are going to go. If you are certain, if you say, yes, I know where I'm going to go. I know, because I've trusted in the finished work of Christ, that I'm going to spend eternity with God in heaven. Then I want you to be steadfast. Be immovable. Be unshakable in God's word, in your relationship with God. All right. Are you bringing your prayer life in line with God's will? That's really what I think it comes down to with what John's saying. Are you bringing your life into line with God's will? Are you asking for the things that God, you know, God wants for you, asking for the things that you want? Right? If you are, if you're bringing your life, your prayer life, into line with God's will, then be confident in your prayers. Not just John, but God himself, who inspired John to write these words, says that if you pray in accordance with God's will, then you can know that you have the things that you ask for. And you can step out in faith. Are you certain about your salvation? And are you confident in your prayers? If you bow with me in prayer. Dear Father, I thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I thank you for what you inspired John to write. Lord, that as we've looked at this letter, but as we come to this point, Lord, that you allow us, that you provide us certainty about eternal life. We don't have to hope. We don't have to wish. We don't have to wonder. But through the finished work of Jesus the Christ on the cross, we can have certainty. And Father, I thank you that we are able to have a relationship with you, that we're not strangers coming before your throne, but that we are children, and that we can boldly come before your throne. We can boldly come and sit on your lap and ask for those things that we need. And we can receive grace and mercy from you. And that you will give us the good things that we ask for, Lord. So I thank you for certainty. I thank you for confidence this morning, Lord. I pray if there's any here, Lord, that is uncertain or lacks confidence, Lord, that you would help them be certain and confident today through their relationship with Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. A hymn of response this morning is number 592, Jesus Calls Us. Again, if you are here and you don't have certainty, please, please come talk to me. I want you to leave here certain about where you'll spend eternity. Right? And if I can pray for you, if I can come before the throne of grace on your behalf, please let me know that as well. I'll be standing down front. Hymn number 592, Jesus Is Calling.
If you'll use your hymnal today, let's stand and sing, please. 592, Jesus Calls Us.
Tonight, we've got Awana, youth group, and English school tonight at 5:30. 6 o'clock, we've got our guest speaker coming to speak about Alma Hunt. So I encourage you to come out for that. We've got something for everybody going on tonight. Okay? Anything you need to say?
Let us pray. Father God, it has been good to be in your house today. And God, I thank you for the message that you have brought to us. God, I pray that we, each person in this room, would have certainty and confidence in who you are as God. But God, I also pray that if there is one person in this room that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day that they would come home. And God, I pray that you would be with us as we step out of these walls. God, strengthen us. In Jesus' name, amen.